Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG believes in the importance of education, allowing people to gain the knowledge to feel confident in their personal decisions. This show highlights the unique financial perspectives of its many guests, including economists, attorneys, book authors, business owners, and tax professionals. It is provided for general information purposes only and does not consider your particular investment objectives or financial situation and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. Before acting on information on this show, strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial advisor. The opinions expressed on Money Sense do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group, four-time recipient of the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for business ethics and integrity. Ellenbecker Investment Group is the only Wisconsin investment company to receive this prestigious award more than once by providing exceptional planning and extraordinary service each and every day. Go to ellenbecker.com and listen to Money Sense Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at noon.
Ellenbecker. I am the founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group, and we are located just north of I-94 between Highway 164 and Highway F. We're in Ridgeview Corporate Park. We're also in the Village of Whitefish Bay in the Equitable Bank building across from Winkies, and we're also very happy and privileged that we can service our clients in Bonita Springs, Florida. If you would like to put a face and a voice together, you can go to ellenbecker.com. Well, we know what's been happening in the markets, or maybe we don't. We're sort of feeling the effects of some of the decisions that are being made. And, you know, for many of us, it makes us feel a little bit uncertain. And so I've invited Barry Mendelson, who is a partner with the Ellenbecker Investment Group. He's capital markets consultants. And you may or may not know, throughout the year we have Mary Brown and some of her teammates with Campbell Newman. We have Public Investments come in and talk about our bonds. And today we've got Barry coming in and talking about the current market and the strategies that are going on. And Barry really helps us to look at our portfolios, the portfolios that we work with our clients on, and helping us to manage and understand the mutual funds that are out there. And so we really have a team, just like you have a team when you work with Ellenbecker Investment Group. We have a team that helps us to manage the investment portfolios that we have. And why is that so important? Because that's what they do for a living. That's what they do day in, day out, all day, looking at those funds and managing those investments with us and for us. That gives us the opportunity to work with you to find out what's important, to sit down and to look at a broader aspect than just the investments with you. But we feel certain that even with this crazy market that we're going through, that we have the best investments out there and that we have the opportunity to have your back and to make sure that whoever you're working with, make sure that they're listening to you, make sure that they're talking to you. That's one of the most important things. So Barry, I want to welcome you to Money Sense once again.
Thanks. It's great to be back.
And Barry has been, we weren't working together, and we recognize that Barry is the best of best, and Barry is back, and Barry has done the radio show for many, many years. And so, Barry, what the heck is going on?
Well, you know, change is hard.
Isn't it?
And radical change and lots of change is upsetting to people, and it makes people uneasy and makes people feel uncertain about what they've been doing, because it feels like the rules have changed and the ground beneath their feet is moving. And the result of that is that they feel uncomfortable. And whenever there are large changes and we're moving to a different sort of system in the global economy, which is what we're at least theoretically trying to do right now, it's unsettling. And so people, to a greater rather than a lesser extent, people were trying to reduce risk by getting out of the market and selling securities and sitting on the sidelines waiting for things to settle down. But it's probably going to be some time before things actually do settle down. And a lot of opportunities will be missed in the intervening period.
You know, Barry, people really do have, they only hear what's on the news, and they hear that the market is declining or whatever, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's affecting their portfolio the same way that they're being, that it is in the overall market. Can you help people understand how they can stay focused and really the importance of understanding what they own?
Yes. I think that in the big scheme of things, the most important thing that clients can be thinking about and should be talking to their advisor about is the asset allocation in their portfolio. That is going to have the biggest influence on how their portfolio behaves and what the return is. And by asset allocation, I mean by that the mix of types of investments that you have in your portfolio. Yes, at the broadest level, stocks versus bonds, the amount you have in stock, the amount you have in bonds, but also the kinds of stocks you own, the degree of riskiness in of those stocks. Do they pay dividends? Don't they pay dividends? Are you purely reliant on growth? In terms of bonds, what's the credit quality of the bonds that you own in their portfolio and so forth? So those simple and fundamental features of a portfolio are more than anything else going to be responsible for how your portfolio behaves under good conditions as well as bad conditions. In addition, Ellenbecker portfolios also use, to a large extent, actively managed products, both in bonds and some to some extent in private accounts, private equity accounts, but also in mutual funds. And the managers who manage those mutual funds are thinking about the very question that you're asking right now, and how do they sidestep, so to speak, the full sort of attack of risk that's coming at them. And we talked about this in a meeting we had just prior to starting this call, and we were asked in that meeting which areas of the market might do better than the market as a whole. And I think an obvious answer would be something like, how about stocks that are independent of the supply chain, where they need international parts or they're selling international products? Companies that sell more domestic products are the ones that are going to be free of the influence, or relatively free of the influence of tariffs. In fact, if the prices on their competitors' products go up, they can even raise prices and increase their profit margins. So a good example of what stocks might be useful in at least temporarily to avoid some of this turbulence in the market is to own companies that are relatively free of international supply chains and needing foreign parts and services to build their products and sell them in the domestic market. Easier said than done, because we live in a global economy, but those managers of your active funds are certainly asking those questions and looking at the companies and the revenues of those companies and asking the question, where are those revenues coming from? And they may be changing internally their holdings in those mutual funds to bias themselves toward companies that are perhaps somewhat less dependent on the areas of the world where the tariffs are likely to be stiffer.
You know, Barry, so many people are out there saying, I've lost so much money, I've lost so much money. Well, there's only two ways that you really lose money. One, that the company that you own went bankrupt and is no longer trading, or if you sold at a lower cost. So this is part of the strategy when you're building your portfolio, you're working with your advisor, is what happens in a down market. Because the last thing you want to do is sell a good stock at a lower price. The ideal situation would be to buy more of it.
Well, we lived in an environment of the past several years where we were people who were invested in the stock market were achieving unsustainable rates of return. The long-term return on equities, domestic equities, is about 10% or so. So people had come to expect that 15 or 20 or 25% was customary and ordinary. It was sort of a new world. And as a matter of fact, people got very complacent. They assumed that's the way things always will be. But if the long-term return on stocks, and when I say long-term, I mean multi-decade, four-decade, five-decade, six-decade, if the long-term return on stocks is about 10%, you really shouldn't expect much more. And if you get more than about 10%, count your blessings. But the only way you can get 10% after having experienced 15 or 20 or 25% for a number of years is for the market to pull back, for the market to go down. And that's what we've experienced in the short run. It's the natural order of things. And it turns out that the tipping point for returning to that more natural order of things was the new administration and the policies that the new administration is pursuing.
I want to go back to a comment that you said earlier, that we were discussing the market, we were discussing what's happening with all of my advisors today. We had a meeting much earlier today. You know, Barry, that's really one of the most important things with our relationship with you. You're right here sitting in my office, in my studio right now, talking to my advisors, talking to me, so that we can talk to our clients. And we do the same thing with Campbell Newman. We do the same thing with Pavlik. You've heard him on the radio. I really want to ask you, you know, your advisor should be talking to you.
Just and they
like
are.
That. I mean, they have to be out there talking. And one of the blessings that we have is we actually know the people who invest money for our clients. It's a personal relationship. And I remember as a broker, we would talk to wholesalers, but we never got to talk to the people that were managing money. But it's so important right now in a time like this that you're talking to your advisor. And if you're not, please give us a call because we do listen. But the truth of it is this is one of the most important times for individuals working with someone. This is when you need your advisor the most, when there's volatility in the market, when maybe you don't quite understand. But understanding what you own, what's going to happen in an up market and a down market is so vital to your peace of mind and sleeping at night.
Well, and that's why it's important to have an advisor and for the advisor to put you in a portfolio that reflects your personal circumstances, the time you have to invest before you need to draw on it for retirement or for income, the amount of risk you're willing to take, any contingencies that you may need to plan for in life. All of those should be reflected in how your portfolio is constructed. And if you can't do it yourself, you need to talk with someone. You need to be open with someone, and you need to reveal to them what's going on in your life and how you want your financial life to be successful so they can help you put something together from a professional perspective.
The relationship that you have ought to be one that you can say those things.
It should be a real relationship, a real relationship, yes.
Barry, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, let's talk about some of the things that are really affecting the markets. And I know that we all agreed earlier that we really don't know what the outcome is going to be. It's too early to tell. But we all agreed that there could have been a simpler way of explaining it to the market so that the market didn't feel as confused about what's going on. So maybe we can bring some clarity to what's going on to help people to have a stronger feeling that we may not like what's going on, but there could be some positives that come out of it. With that, we'll be right back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker. I'm the Senior Wealth Advisor and the founder of Ellenbecker Investment Group. And one of the things, we're almost coming upon our 30th year, and one of the things that I look back on and I am grateful for are these wonderful relationships that I have developed with the people who are managing, are recommending and helping us to manage our clients' portfolios. There is nothing better than looking across the eyes at you, Barry, and talking to you once a week on effectively what's going on so that we can feel confident in how we're advising our clients. And I'm so grateful that you're here today sharing what you're sharing with us, with our listeners, so that they can also have a better understanding. And Barry, is there a silver lining in all this?
Well, the silver lining is that it's not always going to be this way. We have had and been through a pretty substantial publicly revealed change in governmental policy on a lot of different fronts. These were policy changes that everyone knew were going to be coming on taxes, on tariffs, on deportation, on the size of government. The new administration won election on those basic issues. So everyone everyone had an understanding that that's what was going, those were the changes that were going to take place. What people did not really expect was the style and the manner and the pace in which those changes took place. They happened much more sharply and radically than anyone had expected, and perhaps a different style would have been to have something like a national address to say, we won on these issues. We're going to change these issues. Here's how we're going to go about doing that. This is the sequence of how things are going to change. These are the things, these are our priorities. These are the things that are going to change first and fastest. These are the areas of the economy that are likely to be most impacted. Instead, they just happened all at once. And it threw people off, and to a lot of people, to everyone, it has seemed a little bit chaotic.
Yes.
It has seemed a little bit, lots of change actually intraday, from day to day, overnight. A lot of communication has taken place through social media, through surrogates of the president. And so there have been a lot of voices, and it's been unnerving. It's created a lot of uncertainty. And maybe these were all the changes that were going to be made anyway. And that's why I say stylistically, it's been unsettling. And because it's been unsettling, and professional investors haven't known, and still to this very moment, don't know how things are actually going to unfold. Again, how fast, in what sequence, how long this will take. They're unsettled. And so the market is likely to be more volatile. It certainly has been volatile. It's skyrocketed in volatility. And it's likely to remain more volatile for a period of time until at some point we reach what I would call as a new equilibrium, a new steady state, like we were in at the end of the last administration. I have no idea how long it will take to get to that new equilibrium. It could be months, could be quarters, could be a few years, because the nature of the change that's being proposed, from migration to tariffs to taxes and so forth, these are not little changes. These are massive changes. These are trillion-dollar type changes, and they're not going to take place overnight. So it will take some time for a $30 trillion economy, which is the size of the U.S. economy, to absorb this and to process this. And it will take quite a period of time for the administration to find out exactly how much they can push and how much the marketplace is willing to change for the kinds of policy changes they'd like to see. It's one thing to say you want manufacturing coming back to the United States. It's quite another thing to coerce or force companies to try to do it when it's not in their best financial interest. So we'll see how all this plays out. It's not likely to play out in the short run. When you say, we want more manufacturing in the United States, in some cases, consumers can go to replacement products that are already produced in the United States. They may be more expensive, probably are, and that maybe will result in more inflation, or they may have to wait for a factory to be built and products to be produced before they can buy them again. So, and think about how long it takes to build a factory, to acquire the land, to get approvals for everything. The kinds of changes that the administration is talking about is not something that's going to take a place in 2025 or 2026. This is something that's a 5 or 10 or 15-year slow-moving project as it sort of filters its way through a $30 trillion economy. And also keep in mind that the current administration is not going to be in office forever. There's going to be a different administration. It could be Republican, it could be Democratic, but the policies could be very different. So some of the things that this administration has in place could be turned off, right, or could be modified, or could be changed. And it's one of the reasons why I think the value that Ellenbecker Investment Group brings to people is, as much as anything else, the following, which is: be patient, stay invested, invest in the appropriate way for your life circumstances, and if some adjustments need to be made, we will. But don't react to news, don't react to headlines, and don't anticipate that what you saw or the way the market behaved yesterday is the way it's going to always behave. The most important thing to remember is to invest for the long term. Don't invest tactically, and talk to an advisor, preferably an Ellenbecker advisor, to get the right advice.
I remember earlier today you said that it's like turning a battleship around in an alley.
Yes. I mean, trying to make these kinds of relatively wholesale changes on migration, on taxes, on tariffs, on education, on health care. You're talking about a $30 trillion economy. And to try to make these policy changes in a short period of time, to think that it's realistic for those to be changed overnight, it's not. It's like trying to turn a battleship around in an alley. There are going to be a lot of broken parts. There are going to be a lot of things that are going to not look very pretty in the process. And that's why having an advisor who's looking beyond the next hill or two or three and is seeing beyond what today's headlines are all about is really important, so that they can focus on their life and saving and keeping money in their accounts and compounding money for greater wealth in the future.
One of the things that we work really hard with our clients is on education, because we know from past experience that when they know what they own, they don't panic. When they know that there's a plan in place and there's a strategy. I mean, Barry, we sit down with you and you know all the investments in our portfolio, and you help us to select things that fit into our strategy.
Correct. And I've said this before in previous Money Sense shows, radio shows. When we help you put these strategies together, even though they're mutual funds or they're exchange-traded funds, we take the packaging off of the mutual fund and the ETF. So we're actually looking into the portfolios. And then we put all of those securities with the wrappers off, as if they're just one large portfolio. And that's how we come up with the asset allocation and the style mixes that we do in your portfolios. And then, of course, we sort of let the wrappers go back on. But the weighting of and the choice of ticker symbols is all determined with the wrappers off.
Yes.
It's as if we were managing one of the separately managed accounts.
And you're doing that knowing which individual equities that are in our portfolio and knowing which individual bonds are, so that everything complements. And that has been such an absolute gift for us. Barry, let's take another break. And when we come back, let's talk about why we believe that this is happening and what could ultimately happen. So the goal is to reduce the debt, lower the interest rates, and let's touch on that when we come back.
Sure.
Welcome to Money Sense. I am Karen Ellenbecker. My guest today is Barry Mendelson. He is an advisor to the Ellenbecker Investment Group. He is the founder of Capital Market Consultants. Barry, we go back a long, long time.
Not that far back.
We would both hope so, because we're both sitting here looking and talking about this aging process,
right,
as well. But the truth of it is, we do really go back a long time. And you were around when we were looking at our company and deciding how can we better service our clients around investments. Because when I started in this industry, there was like two columns of mutual funds out there. There was practically such a limited amount of investments that you could do. Now, of course, there's so many investments, and it's hard to be able to look at everything and know everything about it, particularly being a global economy. Can you just talk a little bit about how you do that and how you look at these investments? You did a minute ago,
sure,
talking about that, because I think people really want to self-manage, and I think that's a really difficult job for people.
I do think it's a really difficult job for people. In the absence of the development of new technologies, it would be impossible to do what we're doing. Back in the day, what I would say pre-Ellenbecker, I'm talking about the 1980s and the 1990s, this technology did not exist, number one, and the information which is fills up that technology and which the technology can mathematically analyze didn't exist. And then about the middle of the 1990s, technology companies started to figure out how to get information from mutual funds on what they owned. And they parlayed that information along with this new analytical technology that they had for running mathematical analysis on that data So it was almost as if you could take the wrappers off of a mutual fund and you could see it just as if it was a privately managed account. And that changed the game. That was a real game changer. That was in the 1990s. And that technology has got better and better and faster and more probing over the years. Now, 30 years later, we literally see the holdings inside a mutual fund, oftentimes on a monthly basis. And we can run analytics on those holdings just as if it's a privately managed account. We can see all the changes that the manager made. We can see the what they're holding. We can see the weights. So we can run mathematical analysis on the decisions the manager actually made, which ones worked, which ones did not work, whether it's the choice of an individual stock like a Google or a Microsoft or a Meta or whatever it might be, or whether it's the decision they made to have to be overweight technology or underweight technology or to have more or less healthcare stocks. We can see all of that. And so when we're helping to put together a portfolio for you guys, we're looking at the features of that those collective stocks actually represent. And we want to give you guys recommendations on a portfolio that reflects the world in which we're going into.
And the world that we look like we're going into could be a world of less debt, lower debt, and perhaps lower interest rates. What would that look like? Is that an outcome that you think they might be striving towards?
Unlikely.
Unlikely?
It appears as though the Congress has just approved or will soon approve a tax bill that will increase over the next, I think it's 10 years, will increase the size of the federal deficit by about $4, $5, or $6 trillion. So the theory is collect tariffs to offset and make the interest payment, so to speak, on the additional debt that we're going to be taking on. So I don't see the deficit coming down anytime soon. I think the idea that the administration wants to make the government smaller is probably something that will happen, but it will be, I think, somewhat more at the margins. It's not going to be like a 50% cut in the federal size of the federal government, because checks couldn't be processed, claims couldn't be made. So there's going to be some back and forth. I think the DOGE process will probably, I'm guessing, may go too far, and then it's going to have to come back. Just like you'll remember, they fired some people only to realize we got to have those people, and they hired them back. I think that's why I say this is going to take time. This is not something that's going to be resolved in the next 30, 60, or 90 days. It's going to take a while to realize where the federal government, the size of the federal government, and the mixture of the capabilities and skills that the federal government needs. It's going to take a while for that to ultimately be resolved.
When we talk about earlier, you mentioned our global markets. What does that look like for right now? I mean,
it's unsettling. It's unsettling. I think it's pretty clear that recently it's become unsettling, at least for the Europeans and those in the UK, to realize that if the United States doesn't end its relationship with NATO, it's going to change it materially. And what that means in a practical, from a practical perspective, is that the defense of Europe is not going to be relied upon by the United States. In the long run, the Europeans and the folks in Great Britain are going to have to take care of themselves, and they're going to have to rearm themselves. So Germany, frankly, just the Eurozone, just agreed to spend 800 billion euros to start rearming themselves. That's the first downstroke on buying defense and starting defense equipment and starting to rearm themselves. They'll probably have to be multiple tranches of spending to get their defense where they would like it to be. The country of Germany had to pass a law that allows their country to take on more debt than it used to carry and used to be willing to carry. They wanted to have low debt, but now that they have to arm themselves, they're going to have to take on more debt. That leverage, in a way, is sort of similar to all of the debt that was created in the United States to finance all the things that we come to know and love and expect in the United States. which the Trump administration has turned on its head. But what's going to happen is that in Europe and the UK, all of that new debt that's being created is going to stimulate their economies. And so I think it's one of the reasons why you've seen this movement of money into the European theater and UK and overseas and away from the United States, because professional investors are realizing those sleeping giants, so to speak, those complacent economies that were relying on other people to take care of them, that's over. So they're going to have to find a way to stimulate their economy. They're going to have to find a way to defend themselves. And in the process of doing that, they'll stimulate their economies and there'll be faster growth in those parts of the world than in the United States. And I think the United States, by virtue of the fact that they're sort of pulling in, will probably have slower growth in this country. And in the for the foreseeable future, we're probably more likely to suffer from what's referred to as stagflation, which is very low growth as a result of a combination of high tariffs, at least for a period of time, or a new level of tariffs, whatever they may be, deportation of migrants who were workers in this country who contributed to the economy, pay taxes and so forth. So you're going to have a smaller workforce, which means people are going to have to spend more on wages to get people to work for them. More inflation, higher tariffs, more inflation, slower growth. And we're probably likely to suffer from stagflation, maybe even tipping into a recession sometime in the next few quarters or the next year or so.
So, Barry, one of the things we talked about this morning in our meeting was that as advisors, you have made some recommendations to us as to look at some of those global economies. Mm-hmm. This is something that our listeners would benefit by sitting down with their advisors and talking about that next opportunity.
I think
because there's always opportunity.
There's always opportunity. There's no question about that. And if your portfolio was built for yesterday, it's probably a good idea to revisit that, pick it up with an advisor, look at it in the mirror, and see whether you need to make some adjustments to the portfolio to reflect the greater likelihood of a different kind of economic environment and market environment in the next few years than we have right now.
My guest today is Barry Mendelson. He is the president of Capital Market Consultants. He's an advisor to Ellenbecker Investment Group. Just by listening to us today, you can get a sense of the value that brings to the Ellenbecker Investment Group as we manage money for our clients. And if you like what you hear, I'm going to make a recommendation that you give us a call at 262-691-3200. We'd love to just sit down and review what you've got. It's always good to get another opinion anyway. So with that, we'll be right back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker. I'm the founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. My guest today is Barry Mendelson. He is the founder, president of Capital Markets Consultant. As I said before, he's an advisor to the Ellenbecker Investment Group. And we truly appreciate that we have the opportunity to talk to Barry on a weekly basis. And when we're going through these kinds of markets, I think that many times individuals think, well, my advisor knows everything. And you know how we always thought our parents knew everything? And the truth of it is that we don't. And we need to align ourselves with professionals who are invested in the success of our business and the success of our clients. And Barry, thank you for that, because I truly know that you are invested in a way that you want us to do well, and you take the time to help us to understand the best strategies that we can for our clients. When, you know, you've talked about this and you've mentioned it, that, well, sometimes it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And we really do get that the communication has been lack of bedside manner, and everybody is a little bit frightened as to what will the next shoe be that drops. But the truth of it is that if you do understand your portfolio, we're going to weather this. And you said it's not going to be forever. But I think people really do need to hear that again, that this is a moment in time. But Barry, it also could be a moment in time where people are recognizing they may not have the right person in place that's helping them with their portfolio.
For sure.
This could be a wake-up call that it's time for me to do something different. And Julie always says, if you are not comfortable introducing your advisor to your mother or your daughter or your children, you don't have the right advisor.
I think that's a good way of putting it. I would say if there's any doubt in your mind, get a second opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because this is gonna linger on, right?
I don't think linger is the right word. I think it's things are going to change.
Yes.
I don't think the changes will be as dire and dramatic and draconian as they're painted in the press, but there will be changes. Some of those changes will turn out to be really good. Some of the changes will turn out not to be so good, and the market will adjust to those and work around those. But the thing that I would emphasize to everyone out there today is that this is going to take time. This is not going to be, no matter what anyone says, this is going to take change. You don't change 7 billion people's behavior. It's not going to change overnight. And we're a country of 335 million people. It's going to take a while for people to make adjustments and companies to make adjustments and for people to make adjustments in their portfolio. Nothing has to be done tomorrow, but you should sit down and talk with someone who can help you look down the road, whatever that road might look like, whether that's 5 years from now, 2 years from now, or 30 years from now, and get yourself positioned in the best possible way you can imagine. I do think that it's likely, as I said earlier in the show, that rapid growth is likely to shift exclusively from the United States to other parts of the world, and it's why investors are starting to move money into Europe, into the UK, and other emerging markets and other parts of the world, in large part because the United States has said, you're just not going to keep on eating from our trough. You're going to have to do it yourself. So they're going to have to stimulate their economy. They're going to have to grow their economies. They're going to have to do in some way, shape, or form the things that we've done in the past to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. But it also means that they're going to be less dependent on us, less reliant on us, and therefore we're going to be more self-reliant than we've been in the past. And I think it's not unimaginable that we'll experience somewhat slower economic growth in the United States than we've experienced in the past. With higher tariffs, it's likely that corporate profit margins will come under some pressure, and there'll be sort of a reset of how fast companies can grow in the United States. And we're just in the very earliest innings of that. I think something that we've talked to you guys about, we've talked to all of our other clients about, that we don't expect the days of 20 and 25 and 30% returns to be with us in the future. We expect much lower returns in equity markets over the next, let's say, decade or 15 years, maybe something on the order of 5 or 6%, something like that. And if that's the case, you might want to give some consideration to owning more stable, more secure, let's say, dividend-paying stocks.
My favorite.
Because dividend-paying stock, if you're going to get 5 or 6%, maybe making 2.5, 3% in a dividend makes it easier for you to get the 5 or 6%. You don't have to take as much risk to get the 5 or 6%. So I think having a component where possible in your portfolio where there's dividend production at a rate that's higher than what the broad market provides makes a lot of sense to me.
So Barry, what about this question that I know, you know, you're trying to think about what are the things that people aren't asking? And one of the things that often comes up is, I don't have any more time to make my money back, so I'm just going to cash.
that's
a scary thought.
That's fine if you have enough cash.
Yeah.
But if you don't have enough cash, that's not going to work.
Right.
You're going to eat through that cash pretty quickly. And so I think you have to probably use a very diversified approach to generating income. It certainly would be a fixed income portfolio, whether that's mutual funds, exchange-traded funds. It could involve annuities. It could involve a lot of things. But the issue is not what you invest in. The issue is what income do I need?
And what instruments,
what investments can I make to help me get there as easily as possible while taking as little risk as I can or taking as little risk as I can tolerate?
And how much will it cost me to get out of those investments?
Possibly, yes, that's right.
There are so many questions. But that's the importance of sitting down. If you're feeling nervous and you're thinking to myself, do I have enough? First of all, that's the first question, is to figure out how much you need. And where can you take it from, making the most sense tax-wise, also investment-wise. But there are a lot of people that just don't know what to do. And I think the first step is interview some people. Go and talk to some people. Because I think you're right, Barry. We're not going to see those returns that we did, but we are going to see returns.
Yes. This is maybe the most cynical way of looking at it, but I've said this for many years. I think I heard it from someone much older and wiser than myself earlier in my career. In recent years, we've said, as one person has talked to the other, and they would say, what was the return on your portfolio? And now people are saying, did you get your portfolio back?
Yeah.
So it's a completely different sort of mindset. And the question is that do you need to take sort of a balanced approach where you need to be more defensive than you used to be, but while still having some growth in the portfolio? And that's why I think if you're uncomfortable, by all means, talk with someone to confirm that the way you're going about things is the way you should go about them in the future. Or if you need to make a change, talk with someone that you trust to help you put you on the right path. Because there's no need to wake up and walk around uncomfortable all day about your finances.
If you're not
and where
sleeping
you're going.
At night, it's a signal.
Yeah. Someone, my first boss in the financial industry told me on day one, if there are two things people need in their life, when their head hits the pillow, it's they need to have their health in order and they need to have their finances in order.
Yes.
And if either one of those are not right, you need to find a way of dealing with that and addressing those issues.
Well, and it's so important because when you're not sleeping, you get sick, I mean, these are the types of things, anxiety, that really do cause people health issues.
Yeah, and there's no need to put yourself through that.
No.
The market is what the market is. The market involves tens of millions of investors all around the world. Nobody controls it. Everybody sort of goes with it. The idea is to try to take advantage of as much as you can, but without taking too much risk, and recognizing that, as we have experienced in the last week or so, there's always a downside. And we had been warning clients for quite a period of time that just stocks are overvalued. Stocks are very expensive. Everything looks pretty expensive, and you ought to give some consideration to taking a more measured approach to risk-taking, which you guys incorporate into your portfolios anyway. But a lot of people and a lot of advisors don't. And so we've been advising and calling on, without screaming in their offices, get out of that. We've said you need to think about what you're doing. Prices are very high. And at some point, the air is going to come out of the balloon. We don't know what the precipitating factor will be, but it might be time to start reducing your exposure to risk. And some did and some didn't.
You know, Barry, I think of something that is so dear to my heart. My uncle and my aunt, they never had children, and they lived on my uncle's salary, and they invested my aunt's salary their entire life. So they had a beautiful, beautiful savings and investments. And my uncle bought stocks, all the Baby Bells, all the things he was familiar with. And when he passed, he said to my aunt, don't sell anything. Keep those stocks. They all tanked.
Yeah, that's right.
They all tanked on my aunt, and her portfolio went to practically nothing. And she would not sell. She'd say, Uncle Tony said not to sell. I'd say, but auntie, you know. And portfolios aren't like a turkey. You just don't put it in the oven and let it cook. You know, you have to go back. You have to evaluate. The world changes. The stocks that were good 10 years ago may be better, but they may not be. You can't just sit and hold it.
Right. Who would have thought a year ago that Tesla would be down 60%?
Yeah.
Who would have thought that? Who would have thought the Magnificent Seven would be holding the market, would be the worst performers year to date?
Yes.
Things change, and you have to be willing to make adjustments.
And so if you're sitting there and you haven't looked at your portfolio, or if you're not sleeping, you don't understand your portfolio, we'd love to, of course, have you call us. We do listen. You've seen my billboards. We listen. And I think that's the most important part, and also being comfortable to telling your advisor the things that are concerning you. Being able to say, I'm afraid. Being able to say, this is my responsibilities. I'm worried about this. being able to develop, Barry has said many times, what is right for you isn't right for everyone. So please give a call and give a call to someone. Sit down and evaluate where you are and where you want to go. My guest today is Barry Mendelson. He is an advisor to the Ellen Becker Investment Group. His company is a capital market consultant. We love to work together. We love that we have managers that are invested in us and invest in us doing the best possible thing for our clients. And so, Barry, once again, thank you so much. And as always, I hope that I've made a difference in your personal and your financial well-being. Remember, before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always, always listen. Have a great weekend. Thank you. Bye-bye.